Hi, this is Yumi Sakugawa from Intent.com, and I have the pleasure to speak with Alana Sparrow, who was a Pepsi Refresh Project winner. Welcome, Alana.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, can you tell me about the Pepsi Refresh Project grant that you won and what this is for?
Yes, we were in the very first round of winners, which was February of earlier this year, and we were in the $50,000 category for arts and culture, and it is to really kind of push forward an organization that we've had established for a few years now, which is the Boundary for Art, Design, and Culture, and we work to integrate artists into our communities, to different nonprofits, for-profits, and civic institutions, with the hope of helping them secure just different types of unique projects that they can work on. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
So where is the Boundary for Art, Design, and Culture located?
We're located in upstate New York. We are in a bedroom community of Cohoes, New York, which sits right outside of Albany, New York, which is the state capital of Albany, so about 10 miles outside of Albany.
Awesome. So since you won in February, which has been now more than half a year ago, what has been happening since then with the $50,000 grant that the Foundry for Art, Design, and Culture won?
Okay. Lots and lots of things.
I'm sure.
A large portion of our grant was going to help us complete renovation on a building that we occupy, and it's been ongoing renovation for about 5 years, and we were kind of in the final phases, so we're in the midst of completing that, and so that's been an enormous project to balance that, and then also kind of start to do this public outreach, which, you know, once we get our facility done, we'll be able to do more and more of our programming. But so what we've been doing is meeting with the different organizations of our region that sit in the different sectors of nonprofits and corporations and heads of community development departments within the different cities and towns in our region, to just kind of give them sort of a pitch on, you know, what we do and how they can work with us. And so that's been balancing that, plus doing the renovation, plus working out, you know, now retuning our business plan, because we're going to be able to offer so many other things and also do it so quickly because of the grant. That's been really tremendous. And so that's filled lots and lots of our time for the last half year.
Mm-hmm. So what are some specific things that your organization has done in the community?
Okay. Well, one example where we've actually worked with a city is we were brought in to actually advise them. They had received a grant, and we had for streetscaping in a downtown area, and we were brought in to consult with them on how they could incorporate public art projects into that grant project. So one of the things that they wanted to do was to replace park benches, and we suggested instead of opening up, you know, one of our recommendations was instead of opening up a catalog and buying a standard park bench that you could see in any city, is that they could have a call for public art and actually have commissioned benches made that were, you know, sort of more unique to their specific community and as a way to, you know, employ artists. And that's, you know, cities don't often really think about that. So especially mm-hmm. in communities that don't have arts commissions and that sort of thing, they just don't even really know where to start. Another example is we're actually currently working with the National Kidney Foundation that's based here in our region, and they have fund development events that go on year-round, and they were really wanting to do something that integrated arts and culture, so they reached out to us, and we're actually coordinating the entire event for them. So we're actually doing, we'll be curating the art and inviting the guest artists in, and we're still right in the midst of working out what the scope of that event is going to be and how we're going to incorporate the arts programming into that. But that's that's just a really great example of us kind of working in partnership with the different organizations in our community and directly connecting them to the artists that live within our community.
Okay. So I'm just wondering from an artist perspective, if there are, say, artists who want to get involved with your organization, are there any specific venues that they can approach your organization?
Absolutely. They can certainly reach out to us. We don't represent artists in the sense that we're not a gallery, but if they want us to, we're actually in the process of putting together different rosters and registries and that sort of thing. So if they're wanting to be, to get more information, they can certainly reach out to us and send their work and their portfolio so we can kind of see, what their capabilities are and how they might fit into some of the initiatives that we're doing. We are taking that portion of it, rather slowly. What we're really trying to do is, because we do have a lot of artists in our community who we're already, very connected with and have been connected with, and we're wanting to see more. But what has been probably sort of the most exciting part, but one of our bigger struggles, because we're a very, very small organization, is just really sort of fielding all of the excitement and people want, to do work and to be involved. And we're still trying to get just some foundation and fundamentals, into place. And, so it's a constant balancing act.
So you're the founder of the Foundry for Art, Design, and Culture, correct?
I am with my husband and partner, Jesse Matulis. So there's actually two of us.
Okay, so how did you guys develop this idea? I mean, it's such an amazing organization. So I'm just really curious about how the founding story behind all of this.
Sure. Well, we're both fine artists and have been practicing fine artists, and I professionally, what has paid my mortgage over the years I have worked in the marketing and design industry, and so I have a very sort of strong business background as well, and the ability to network and this sort of thing. And I, a few years ago, back in 2003, I had opened a gallery, and that's actually how I met Jesse. He was an artist I represented, and what I came to realize were that there were so many artists out there who really just didn't have an understanding of really how to market themselves, how to really look at art being a potential living for themselves. We're not really taught that in art school, and that was just something I kept coming across. And so for a few different reasons, mainly rent rising, I ended up closing the gallery and came to the conclusion that I needed to own my own property and, be able to live in it and have that space. And so that's where we came to buy the building that we have now, which was 5 years ago, and it was just such a huge project. And so it gave us this time to really start to reach out, and we were doing different salons and shows, and the same theme kept coming back up, where artists just were wanting to reach into different markets and having different opportunities, and cities would call upon me because they knew I knew so many artists. And then I realized, there's there's no one here really in our region connecting these folks. And, you know, this isn't an anomaly to our communities. This happens everywhere. Really just sort of, you know, just noticing these things, and then that kind of got me really intrigued into reading some different books, and Richard Florida's books had come out, and, you know, just the Charles Landry, and so then that sort of turned into my thesis topic, was this whole notion of you know, the creative city. I was in graduate school, and then that kind of led me to realize that, you know, we could really kind of take a few different business models. So, like, think of the way a chamber serves, you know, the broader business community, and the way a regional art center will serve, you know, every single person in their community. We wanted to kind of take, you know, all the things that, you know, professional businesses need and entrepreneurs need, and, you know, that support that's very unique to artists, and really provide that foundation and that place for everyone to go to get that education, not just artists, because they're not the only ones that are oftentimes lacking. It's oftentimes, you know, the different organizations don't have a clue where to start on how to work with artists, and, you know, and I'm not even just fine artists, but just folks working in the creative sector,
right.
All creative sectors.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what we, you know, we serve to do, is educate everyone to just gain a new perspective on this, that people who are working in the creative sectors, who want to work in the creative sectors, they're an integral part of our society. And I think that it's a very different way of life when you commit yourself, you know, to doing that. And again, nobody formally teaches us how to do that. And so often I would see students who I had taught, you know, just they weren't doing what it was that they loved, which was their art, because
mm-hmm.
they couldn't figure out how to earn a living doing it. And, you know, we end up having to be skilled in a lot of different areas, because there really are not that many people who get to just paint all day and sell paintings and buy a home, you know.
Definitely.
Different way of life, and that's what we're here to, you know, to educate folks on the value of that, you know, that there is real value in people doing that, and there's real value in supporting that. So one of the unique programs that we are working on developing specifically for artists is going to be predominantly on our website, but it's our job board, where people, you know, professional companies out there, if they have a professional position within the creative sectors, they can post that. So that might be a salaried, you know, typical 40-hour, or it might be an hourly kind of job. Can post those jobs, but they have to be specific to the creative sectors.
Mm-hmm.
But then artists or creative people can also post their bios online, and not only list their resumes, like what their sort of professional skills might be, but also those types of things that they might be willing to do to earn extra money. Because we get this all the time. People are emailing us or on our Facebook page, you know, I'm willing to, like, I'll clean out your garage, I'll do this, I'll do that, I've got a show coming up, and I need
mm-hmm.
And this is where I need this cash to get down to New York, and they're willing to do anything. And some of these
mm-hmm.
you know, folks are very, very skilled at
right.
you know, these things that they've had to just do and take on. And so what we want them to be able to do is put this list of what are the types of things that you're willing to do, how much experience do you have doing it, do you have references? And then, so let's say if you need somebody to come in and, you know, mow your lawn or clean out a garage or paint a room, you can go on to that job board and directly hire someone who's trying to, you know, really support their art. And so there's many ways to support the creative people in our community without necessarily having to buy art.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely.
So you can very directly support them without even having to get into the involvement of purchasing art.
I know that the Refresh Everything product is so ridiculously competitive, and congratulations again for winning the first round, which was so competitive right from the start. So do you have any tips for future Refresh projects submitters who want to win a grant and need to get the votes to win the money.
Yes. I would say that if you have, you can't just have a great idea. You really do have to have a foundation of supporters. And, I mean, that's really key. You can't start with no one in your corner, especially now. And I know that was true even when we first went in, but now, you know, because we've worked with other organizations and sort of advised them on, you know, what they could do within their community. But one thing that we did notice is that the folks who are winning and who are real, they've got people, and they're out there and they're recruiting the people, so they've got these forces behind them. They're helping them do that. But it's not just necessarily having thousands of members, because we've seen museums who have thousands of members not be able to do it. You've got to have, you're better off having 50 to 100 people who really, really believe in you and your organization. If you've got that, then you ask those people to find 10 people and then to help you. And, you know, and that's really, that was our strategy, and that's the strategy that we have advised everyone, is don't ask them to help your project. Ask them to help you help that next person, because people rarely want to help strangers. They love helping their friends and family.
Absolutely.
And that was our approach was, you know, when we asked our friends and family is, you know, don't ask them to help us because they don't know us. I wouldn't necessarily commit every single day to do that to somebody.
Right.
I may not because I'm really busy. But if my friend said, this is so important to me, if you could really, you know, this because these people are important to me, and we found that that made a really big difference. And then if you can align yourself with other organizations who stand to benefit from your project, whether that be by way of a direct benefit or an indirect benefit by, you know, just having another sort of organization, like, for instance, with us, we aligned with other cultural organizations in our community who really stood to benefit from us getting off the ground, you know, because the more cultural organizations we have here, the stronger we are, you know, as a region. And so that's what we did. We're also going to be working with our schools. So right here in the town that we're based in, we reached out to the school district, and the school district was fantastic. They actually, you know, reached out to the parents and to the students. And so we had support coming from absolutely all over the place. I mean, it was unbelievable, really all over the place. And, you know, one of our supporters, her mom was a nurse, is a nurse, runs a big hospital somewhere out in the Midwest, and the whole hospital was voting for us. I mean,
wow.
You know, I mean, it was
that's amazing.
Going and going and going. But, you know, the challenge that the folks have now, honestly, is the burnout. You know, what we found is our supporters, we kind of got to a point where we really couldn't help anyone anymore because our supporters were kind of getting annoyed with us. Just being real honest, you know, that can happen where you can
definitely
and turn your supporters off. So it's a real balance, but you can't be embarrassed. You gotta be willing to go out and be told no. And if you're gonna be shy and timid, then don't even bother.